You take that to your prayer group. You take that to whatever area of involvement you are in, and you will discover life and you'll discover rest. This love, let me put it like this. When this love is in a believer, this real love, what's it look like? It's truly free. It's truly free. There is no compulsion. There's no obsession about it. See, the other kind of love, there's always I should, I guess I must. Why do you keep on saying yes to everybody and everything? It's because you feel you ought to, should. It's a compulsion. Why is it you go down there and interfere with your daughter-in-law every day and trying to fix their home? Well, I guess I ought to. I should, you know. So many missionaries we've met, they say, well, I'm here because nobody else would come. As if it's their responsibility to go and fill the spot, you see. That's toxic. All that is toxic love. This kind of love I'm talking about is completely free. I didn't come to Oklahoma City because I felt I ought to. I'm here because I wanted to. I'm here by choice. I'm free. See? And you come and say, would you preach in my church on Sunday? I'll see. See, I remember the time when I had to say yes, even though I was preaching in another church on Sunday, I still had to say yes to you. But now, even if I'm free on Sunday, I don't know if I'll come to your church. I mean this. I'm not driven by the need to say yes. I love you. And love is not saying yes, yes, yes to get your smile. Love is saying I choose voluntarily to come and do something that I do not have to do, need to do. I do it because I choose to. And if in doing it, it is going to tear me apart, that's my choice. Do you follow what I'm getting at here? See, this is Jesus. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay my life down. Jesus died for us by choice. When it came to the very end, Father gave him a choice in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wasn't volunteered. Jesus didn't stand in Gethsemane and say, well, I guess I messed with it. You know, if I don't, who will? I mean, I better do this, I guess. Yeah. You follow me? Nor did the Father volunteer him and say, you've got to do this, because God never does that. Jesus had to make a choice, and it was the greatest, most heart-rending, devastating choice of his life when he said, finally, not my will, but yours be done. But it was his choice. And in making that choice, do you remember what he said? If I ask the Father now, right now, within hours of the cross, if I ask the Father for angels to come and rescue me, he would send them. Have you ever heard that? He could have gotten out of this at the last minute. Right to the very nailing of his hands to the cross, he did not have to be there except by his own choice. And if there is any area of your life that you're driven to do it compulsively, yet you're afraid, what would they say if I didn't? You know, do you remember that? You came home after Sunday morning. They asked me to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, do you want to be one? No. Did you say you would? Yes. Why did you say yes? Well, what would they say if I didn't? And here you are. You're stuck with a Sunday school class that you've got no business in. You don't want to be in. Your actual choice was not to be in, but because you couldn't bear the idea of being rejected, you were driven compulsively to say yes when you wish you said no. And so your Sunday school class is suffering because the teacher they should have has been, I don't know where he is, but I mean, you've got his job. You say, but if I didn't do it, who would? I don't know. Maybe the whole church would wake up. Trouble is, you've been doing everything, haven't you? If you'd only do what you chose to do because you genuinely loved, maybe the rest of the church would have to take their place. This God kind of love can appear very callous in the eyes of toxic love. This is where they join battle. Toxic love looks at God love and says, you're callous. Because you see, the God kind of love will never do for somebody else what they, as a responsible human, should do for themselves. Did you get that? God kind of love will never do for another human being what they as a responsible human being should do for themselves. Toxic love will always do for others what they should be doing for themselves. Always. And so that's what I say. When you stop playing the game, people get upset. Because here is this responsible human being that's been acting like a child and refusing to face up to his destructive lifestyle. And he's been getting away with murder, and you've been letting it happen. I mean, there's that teenage boy, and he's hardly moved from the couch in 6 months. He's got a degree, and he could and should be working, but you are financing his drug habit. And you call it love, don't you? Not love, it's poisoning him. You are helping him to destroy himself, and you're destroying your whole family at the same time. Not love. Got nothing to do with love, it's destruction. But you see, when you go home and stop playing the game, and tell him that he's got so many hours to get off his butt, find a job, and get out of the house if he keeps on drugs. Oh, toxic love says, how callous. No, for the first time, you're loving him. You're making him face up to the responsibility he has of destroying his own life and those around him. You get what I mean? Do you see this game that's being played? And suddenly you stop playing, and you start loving instead. And people say, you're very callous. No, you're not. You see, if you take responsibility for another person's choices, then you are actually devaluing them as a human being. Because as a person made in the image of God, I'm responsible for my choices, and you're responsible for yours. And if I come barging in and take responsibility for yours, then I've devalued you as a human being. So this kind of love forces the self-destructing person to face his own disintegrating lifestyle. And that hurts love. Believe me, that hurts. Toxic love likes to smooth it all over. Everything's nice. We're smiling, aren't we? And I lied for you, and we covered for you. We got through that one together, didn't we? And everybody's happy. And you come on and love. Love broke the heart of God when he loved you. Love hurts. It breaks my heart to say to somebody, if that's the way you're going to go, it's the way you've got to go. And all I can do is pray and walk with you through it, but I can't walk for you, and I can't make choices for you, and I can't do anything for you. You've got to do it. That hurts me. Breaks my heart. But that's love. Look at this one. And this isn't so sober, but somber, rather. Look, here's Peter. Dear Peter, I mean, open mouth, foot in, and everybody else's foot in. I mean, Peter, you know Peter. The charismatic leader of the band of disciples. And one of the best friends that Jesus had. And Jesus receives a word of wisdom sitting at the table on the night of the Last Supper. And the word of wisdom comes to Jesus that this man is going to deny him before dawn. Now, what is Jesus going to do with that piece of information? Okay, here's your best friend. And you know down there in Jerusalem tonight, he is going to deny you, is going to cause his life to fall apart. He's going to be destroyed. And God the Father has just shown you what's going to happen. If you are codependent, toxic love, I'll tell you how you'd handle that. Peter, why didn't you stay home tonight? It could be dangerous down in Jerusalem tonight. Why don't you just stay home? It would be better, Peter. No, he doesn't do that, does he? Instead, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. Well, didn't you stop him? No. I prayed for you. And when you're turned around, you'll be able to strengthen your brothers. Do you hear what he's doing? He's saying, Peter, tonight's the night. You've got to face your own disintegrating lifestyle. Big mouth, airy thoughts. You've got to face who you really are, Peter, because right now you can't help anybody. You're just full of hot air. And it's going to be tough, Peter. You're going to be down there in Jerusalem and you're going to be destroyed. And I can't stop it. I love you, Peter, so I won't stop it. I'm not keeping you home tonight. I'll pray for you. You've got the best friend you've ever had. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But I can't stop you. You've got to face your own life. And I give you hope, Peter. You're going to come out of this. And when you do, you'll be strong. And you'll be able to help your brothers. But you see what he did? He didn't abandon Peter, but he did leave Peter to face the responsibility of his own choices. It's toxic arrogance that forces ourselves into people's lives with answers when they weren't even asking. We just have to be there as they face the awful emptiness of their lives. This God kind of love can receive as well as give. You see, toxic love can't. Toxic love can only give, or at least appear to give, because the reason it gives is to get back. But the God kind of love is full. It gives out of its fullness. And so if you want to give, it can receive. You can pick toxic love out in the church over and over again. When you want to compliment somebody and give them genuine praise, their first response, I'm not worthy. Oh, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. No. Would you come up here and we want to say, no, I belong at the back. What's the matter with you? All this inferiority and worthlessness. God loves you, man. You're the apple of his eye. You're cringing, groveling at the back there. Well, I'm a humble soul. No, you're not. You're proud of your humility. That's what you are. God's love can give and receive. Jesus told that neatest of stories. Remember, he said, you're in a feast. And of course, in those days, in religious feasts, it was the Pharisees who would fight like tigers to get a spot on the platform. Because that was their identity, you see. We're up here with the important people. And Jesus said, when you go to a feast, he said, where you sit. Because if my identity is in God, it doesn't matter where I sit, does it? I mean, whether I'm up here or down there, it doesn't make any difference. I know who I am. I don't need my name on the platform to be in somebody, you see. I don't need to sit at the top table beside the VIPs to be somebody. I am somebody if I'm in bed. It doesn't make any difference. My somebodiness comes from God, right? See, so sit where you will. So far, both toxic people and God kind of people, they all agree. That's fine. Sit where you want. But then, said Jesus, when the leader of the feast sees you, I says, oh, what are you doing back there? Come up higher, friend. He says, you go up higher. Sit down. That is, sit down there, sit up there. Be honored, be not honored. Makes no difference. The toxic love person, if they were picked out, would say, oh, no, not me. The toxic love person can never receive. They don't feel worthy enough. They're operating out of their shame. Do you follow what I'm getting at? When I know I'm loved, I can as easily sit down there and receive from you as you can sit down there and receive from me. I can share with you my gift, or I can sit down there and receive your gift. Out of my fullness I give, not to get identity, but out of my identity. And similarly, you can give to me and I receive it. Well, there it is. We could go on. I'm sharing with you a new lifestyle. And that can be very different. Very different. When I came over here from England, they introduced me to what I considered to be near suicide. I had to drive my car on the wrong side of the road. And believe me, I drove on the wrong side of the road with all my feelings saying, you've got to get back over there. I drove by faith. On those highways, I continually expected to see the headlights of a car coming over the hill straight at me. Truly. And what I have shared with you this weekend is like switching sides of the road. And you will walk out of here and feel, this is wrong. This is wrong. Unconditional love is wrong. I've got to do something. I've got to earn something. I've got to perform. And then as you walk by faith in the Word of God and apply it by faith against your feelings, you will begin to walk with feelings by and by. I know, in fact, now when I go to England, I feel messed up. It's right. And so walk by faith, and your feelings will fall in after you by and by. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for these 6 hours that we've spent together. Thank You for the joy of Your Word, and thank You for the way that You have ministered already deep in our hearts. And now as we bless this people, some to go and some to stay, make Your Word plain in their hearts. Let Your light shine within. Thank You that Your love is shed abroad within us. Now let it increase and abound and take over our lives. Heal us and those who shall come for the laying on of hands. We thank You, Lord Jesus, ever the same, as You laid hands on the sick in Capernaum and healed them all. So You move in this congregation, limitlessly present to every one of us, ministering Your healing love. And we receive it from You, thanking You that the darkness is dismissed and the light has overpowered it. In Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Malcolm Smith's ministry is dedicated to guiding believers into the reality of experiencing daily fellowship with the Father. This has been another message by Malcolm Smith. For a complete catalog of audio and video cassettes, write Malcolm Smith Ministries, Box 29747, San Antonio, Texas, 78229. Or you may order toll-free with MasterCard, Visa, or by COD by calling 800-533-8338.